I'd be lying if I didn't acknowledge that I'm relieved that the Christian fascist Alabama super freak Roy Moore won't be ascending into the United States Senate next year. Still, how excited do progressives really want to get about Doug Jones's special election victory over a candidate who was badly tarred with accusations of child molestation, a despicable and clownish predator whose pursuit of teenage girls in his 30s led to him being banned from a shopping mall? The apocalyptic, evangelical, racist, sexist Judge Roy Moore almost won, despite his epic handicap in the race. I found it strange, or at least disturbing, that nearly all of the national horror expressed about Roy Moore focused on his sexual crimes against white girls and women. His history as a sexual predator is horrific and richly worthy of condemnation and disgust, of course. But so was his all-too-tellingly neglected statement in Florence, Alabama last September after a black citizen asked Moore when he thought America had last been great. "I think it was great," Moore said, "at a time when families were united. Even though we had slavery, they cared for one another. Our families were strong. The country had direction." It's not too often that you hear a politician contending for higher office pine for an era that included the vicious, racist torture and exploitation system that was black chattel slavery, and a great stain on the nation that will never completely wash away. Why did Moore go to the pre-Civil War slave era when grasping for a time when America was supposedly great? Because its families were united? The usual reference point for Trumpian statements on past American greatness is the post-World War II golden age of unparalleled U.S. power and prosperity. But my guess is that that period didn't do it for Moore because it hatched the modern Southern Civil Rights Movement launched in Montgomery, Alabama in 1956. Liberals are awash with praise for the milquetoast Clinton, Obama, Pelosi, Schumer, moderate, and elite Democrat Jones, but it was black voters who marked ballots 98% for the candidate who did not pine for the good old days of slavery, who saved the United States from a new black eye in Alabama. Jones's triumph is not without progressive downsides. Beyond stating standard Democratic opposition to the arch-regressive Trump GOP tax bill and calling, along with moderate Republicans, for restored funding of the endangered federal Children's Health Insurance Program, Jones pretty much mimicked the 2016 Hillary campaign by running above all as not Roy Moore. Look at Mr. Jones's campaign advertisement titled Honor. It opens with scenes from the Civil War telling a story from the Battle of Gettysburg. "Those times have passed long ago," Jones says, "and our country is better for it, but now we fight too often over other matters. It seems as if we're coming apart. I want to go to Washington and meet the representatives from Maine and those from every other state, not on the battlefield, but to find common ground, because there's honor in compromise and civility, to pull together as people, and to get things done for Alabama. There'll be no silly, radical, and populist peoples or class or social justice warriorship from Doug Jones. Gee, Mr. Jones, does it seem like we're coming apart with what, the top tenth of its upper U.S., 1% owning as much wealth as the nation's 90%? This while half the citizenry has no savings, half is living in or near poverty, 21% of U.S. children are growing up at less than the federal government's notoriously inadequate poverty level, and 41 million U.S. Americans, 12.3% of the population, are food insecure? And all this as Washington sits on the precipice of passing an arch plutocratic tax bill designed to make the new Gilded Age yet more viciously unequal and plutocratic? Though he certainly knew he could not defeat Moore without black votes, candidate Jones did not really take up the problem of the racist criminal justice mass arrest and incarceration system, or the nation's giant racial wealth and wage gap, or the endemic violation of black voting rights, or the savage, persistently separate and unequal status of black K through 12 education, black Democrats simply got campaign calls telling them about Moore's sexual misconduct and reminding them that Jones once prosecuted the Ku Klux Klan members who bombed a black church in Birmingham. Along with the Democrats' off-year election victories in Virginia and elsewhere last month, Jones's narrow triumph reinforces the nation's disastrous attachment to narrow-spectrum two-party, major capitalist party electoral politics. As Chris Hedges noted in the summer of 2016, the predatory financial institutions on Wall Street will trash the economy and loot the U.S. Treasury on the way to another economic collapse, whether Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton is president. Poor unarmed people of color will be gunned down in the streets of our cities, whether Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton is president. Millions of undocumented people will be deported, whether Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton is president. Austerity programs will cut or abolish public services, further decay the infrastructure, and curtail social programs, whether Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton is president. Money will replace the vote, whether Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton is president. And half the country, which now lives in poverty, will remain in misery, whether Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton becomes president. This is not speculation. We know this because there has been total continuity over every issue, from trade agreements to war to mass deportations, between the Bush administration and the administration of Barack Obama. The problem is not Donald Trump. The problem is capitalism. And this is the beast we are called to fight and slay. Until that is done, nothing of substance will change. To reduce the political debate, as Bernie Sanders and others are doing, to political personalities is political infantilism. We have undergone a corporate coup. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton will not reverse this coup. They, like Barack Obama, know where the centers of power lie. They serve these centers of power, as will Mr. Jones. And as Howard Zinn reminded us, historically, government, whether in the hands of Republicans or Democrats, conservatives or liberals, has failed its responsibilities until forced by direct action. Sit-ins and freedom rides for the rights of black people, strikes and boycotts for the rights of workers, mutinies and desertions of soldiers in order to stop war. Voting is easy and marginally useful, but it is a poor substitute for democracy, which requires direct action by concerned citizens. This has been Denise Morris for the Old Mole Variety Hour, and I've been reading from an article by Paul Street on counterpunch.org titled, "What's Not Happening with Mr. Jones?"